uses it, and it will do all of that in like a codified way. So it's a lot more strict in terms of like, it has to be valid JavaScript code. It has to be able to validly parse it and understand it for it to get there, which it should be able to. But it's, yeah, I like that approach more. Like regex, I would always be worried that I'd be missing stuff probably. That's
yeah, but
well, you know what you're looking for specifically because
because I have certain let's say code or regex for this target so I spend sometimes like with each target to basically have the recon right, and after that I just forget it.
This is exactly what we've been talking about. Is like, and I've actually spoken with some people in the critical thinking community about building this, and I kind of got about halfway through it myself, and I haven't swung back around to it. But essentially, instead of building a JS monitoring tool, building a JS monitoring framework, because at the end of the day, all of these scripts should be custom, because for each target, they're going to have a different, you know, way that they're doing everything, and you know, a different way of getting the files, and then you gotta, you know, unlazy load them, and then load them all in, and then JS beautify them, and then everything, all the formats are different. So really, for each target, you've got individual things you should be looking at differently. And so I think that what we should do is build a Python package that makes monitoring these things a little bit easier, and say, okay, you know, here's an HTML page, grab this specific script tag. Okay, now you've got the script tag. Great, we got an automatic, you know, de-lazy loader that you know runs Node on the inside and just, you know, dumps out all the values for these lazy loaded files and stuff like that, and then build a library surrounding that, and then we use that library to create specific automation for specific targets using these sort of tools. And it seems like that's what you've done.
Yeah, but in it's for me, it's still a tool, not a framework. Like, I do, it's not.
You just run it once and it does everything at once, or do you have different? No. Sorry. Do you? I imagine, like, I have a microphone attached to me at all times. so, do you run it just like one and done and it does everything at once, or do you have different?
No, but I have to set it up. I need to do some manual work at first, and after that,
per target.
Per target, yeah, and after that, set a few things and keep it working. Yeah,
very cool. It kind of reminds me of there's a couple different source map JavaScript source map unpacking tools that are like this, because source map also, it can be a little bit different per, you know, how it's deployed or whatever, and so sometimes you need to pull it from a different like index on in an array or something, like index one instead of index zero. And one of the tools that I've used is it specifically allows you to configure, like, I want it from this path on the AST, and it'll specifically do that. I think something like that, plus what Justin was talking about, would be a good approach, where you could say, like, for this target, the thing I'm looking for is here. And then you just feed it a blob, and it just parses it, pulls it out, and then you can just run that every single time until it changes. I like that idea.
Yeah, and I'll mention this. I haven't played around with this tool yet, but somebody in the Critical Thinkers, the premium chat for our Discord, released this or posted this in here the other day. It's github.com/ MidoXNet/MapperPlus. It seems like it says an advanced source map extractor based on a headless browser. And this is something that I thought about doing for a while, using headless browser to actually do that source map abstraction easier.
That would be nice.
Yeah. And so I'm definitely gonna check this out after this. They dumped it on me right as I was about to go and do a live hacking event, so I haven't had the chance to check it out yet. But I think there's a lot of innovation that could be done in the source map space, and obviously you've got
I won't say mine is the most innovative one.
Yeah.
Because it's basic, but because I'm just looking for certain stuff. So after all, it's code. If I detect a pattern in the code, I just I don't need to fully understand it or reverse engineer it or
No, and I think that shows expertise, though. That shows that you know what you're looking for, which I think is very good. Just one second, Joel, and then so the Webpack lazy loading piece, obviously we've got tools like JSluice and JSWeasel that are kind of addressing this as well. Do you have your own, I guess, piece of technology to go through and address those sort of lazy loaded pieces where it's like, you know, 1234:#, and then it's dynamically creating that JS file? Do you know what I'm talking about, or is it a little too abstract?
Actually, I didn't like with the targets I work on, I don't usually see.
They don't have that very often. Yeah. Okay,
it's too complicated.
Consider yourself fortunate. I mean, lazy load of JavaScript is so annoying to hack on.
Let me just do this though, Joel. I'm not even sure if you saw because we've been knee deep in the live hacking event. But I just released to the to the Critical Thinkers Discord, the premium channel, a new. So I'll share this with you too, Yusuf. And you'll have access to it after this anyway because we give all the speakers access to the exclusive content. But I've been trying to solve this problem of like how do I programmatically extract lazy loaded JavaScript for a while, right? And it's these functions that look like this. I'll turn it around. You can see it on the left hand side, but it's these, you know, these numbers right here on the side, and then the hash, and then it automatically generates it. Yeah. So for a while, the first version of the script that I did was using these crazy regex to like parse out the number and the correlating the name and the hash and the number and the hash, and it was just a whole cluster, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then I realized, oh shit, the function that has this defined in the JavaScript is actually a function designed to dynamically generate.
Yeah, you don't do
the name. Mm-hmm. So just all I had to do was copy the function.
Okay.
You know, put it in my script, run eval, and then pass every number that I see, and it just automatically generates.
Yeah, yeah. You don't have to worry about that. Yeah.
Exactly. And so so now we've got a very easy way to extract that using Node. And you know, obviously in the browser, that they're only going to load the things that they need dynamically. But when we were doing recon, we want to have every access to every single JS file. So I released that script to the Critical Thinkers. We'll leave it as a task to the non-critical thinking listeners to go ahead and build that yourself. But it's been very helpful for me with recon and analysis, and I think it would be for other people as well. One other question that I had here, and then we'll kind of go into a little bit more of hacking methodology stuff as we close, is how do you think about client-side routing in an application that you're looking at? Like, do you often go through there and try to enumerate all of the client-side routes that are associated with an application? And do you have any tips and tricks you use for this with various frameworks, or is it mostly just going in there, reading the code, putting in the time to understand where all those client-side routes are defined?
Yeah. So I'll initially try to understand how they define routes and everything. After that,
that's a pretty high priority for you in the beginning, or
yeah, at some point, not in the beginning, okay. But at some point, I try to find routes and client-side routes, of course, and after that, I just extract all the list and review it manually. So it's mainly a manual
process. Yeah, that's something that I'd also like to see some innovation in the space. And I always like to mention this on the podcast because somebody's going to get some Joel-like person out there is going to get triggered and have to go write this tool that parses like, like React or, you know, all of these different frameworks have their own way of defining these client-side routes. And I think it'd be really cool to just kind of have some sort of browser plugin or some sort of tool that would show me exactly what code is being executed when I go to this specific route. And for this event, I can talk about it. You know, for this event, there's this, you for one of the targets, you visit a route and then it's got like this whole weird stretch of JavaScript and then it instantiates a class. So the first thing that really runs is like the constructor of this class associated with that specific route. And so, you know, if that's a common thing, it'd be really cool to be able to link it to that class and would help with enumerating all these rather than having to set breakpoints and then work back. So that's what I do. Is that what you do as well?
Yeah. So I have to, it's like, to some point it's complicated. You have to find like the first lead and after that follow it to understand how it works. And you do it with a single route and after that you can do it to automate it with other routes.
Yeah, a lot of it sounds like sort of that calibration that you're talking about where when you're starting on a new target, like identifying what are the patterns? How do they structure stuff? What do their routes look like? What do client-side routes look like? I noticed that a lot in mobile as well, actually, because mobile, again, lots of obfuscation, same looking for stuff, patterns. Yeah. So you mentioned in your bug bounty reports explained interview that you wanted to do more like